And so if you want to make your way that way, for everybody else, grab your Bibles. Turn with me to Acts chapter 27. So we're in the midst of our series called People of the Spirit, and we've been asking a simple but profound question. What does it mean to be a people shaped, empowered, and defined by the Holy Spirit? Now, what we've said from the beginning is this, is that Spirit-filled identity produces Spirit-filled activity. And so we've looked at a variety of different things. We've talked about loving Jesus deeply, living generously, practicing discernment, forgiving freely, and acting courageously. And so today we're going to add another element, and that is this: Spirit-filled people endure faithfully. Now, as we begin, I want to quote a famous Canadian. I mean, right, if you want to guess which Canadian, this is always the fun part. You're like, a famous Canadian, is there such one? Now, some of you might be leaning to people like Wayne Gretzky, because how many know Wayne Gretzky is a famous Canadian? And that's not where I'm going to go. You may think Leslie Nielsen, but it's not him. You may think it's Tom Cruise, but he's from Syracuse. And but actually, I am going to quote the infamous Shania Twain. Man, I feel like a woman. No, I'm just kidding. No, that's not where I'm starting. Maybe you know this song. It's a song she sings, and this is how it begins. Looks like we've made it. Look how far we've come, my baby. It sounds so good when I read it, doesn't it? It's just like going, let's make this sucker academic. Mm-hmm, right? And it goes, we might have took the long way. We knew we'd get there someday. They said, I bet, they'll never make it, but just look at us holding on. Still together, still going strong. Okay, how many know this song? How many of you were singing in your head as I was doing this? And you're like going, she sounds so much better than him. And I would agree on that one. What are you, don't hold your hand up so long. Oh my goodness. But you know, today we're going to talk about enduring faithfully, and to get us thinking about endurance, let me take you to a moment many of us have seen at weddings or anniversaries, celebrations. Sometimes the DJ will invite all the married couples onto the dance floor, and then the DJ will start dismissing couples based on how long they've been married. How many have been there before and done this? You're there, you go to the wedding, they generally get the bride and groom up there, because how many know the bride and groom just want to be the center of attention on their big day? And but you guys, if you have been married longer than a day, sit down. And then they go wandering off, and they're like, okay, if you've been married for less than 5 years, sit down. Now, what was I was going to do? This was going to be fun this morning. I was going to have all the couples stand up, and we'd key up some music, some Shania Twain, just to make it beautiful, and get you to dance together, and then we'd say, okay, we're at this year, and then this, and you go 10, and then people have been around 10, and then what about 15, 20, 30, and it's amazing, because like Rachel and I, we've been doing this journey a bit, and so we're dancing longer now, and you watch people drop like flies all around you, and then sometime some couple will keep going, they'll say 40, and if you've been married more than 50 years, I mean less than 50 years, sit down, and generally it starts getting slim pickings then, right? Now, I don't know, how long have people been married in the room? So if you've been married more than 50 years, just raise your hands. I know one, no, we don't, I'm sorry. It's a terrible thing. I'll pick on my mom and dad, because they will be married 57 years. This summer. Give it up. Okay, being married to a Quigley is a lot of work. At least that's what Rachel keeps saying. But you know, how many know that when the part of the reason there's like clapping and cheering when you hit like 50, 57, people are like, yeah, you did it. Because how many know that marriage sometimes is something you just endure? Come on, I know, you're like, you're looking, but how many know that if you've been married 57 years, you've been through some stuff together? How many know that if you've been married like any length of time, you're going to go through some things? How many know you're going to make it through differences? Like if you're going to make it to like the 50s pluses, you can make it through differences. You make it through disappointments. You may make it through some diagnoses, financial ups and downs, seasons of excitement, seasons of boredom. You know, there's some that will say, you know, it's just easier to leave. But man, you'll get people who will just hold on. Even when life tries to pull them apart, they just kind of stick together. And really, that's a picture of endurance. Now, the moment I start sharing this, how many know sometimes it gets a little uncomfortable? Thank you, Elsie. Thank you, Elsie. Because she's just like, well, what about us? Now, Elsie, when were you married? What year was it? 1965. Okay, so that would be 61, right? That's, you'd be coming up to 61 this year. Oh, my goodness. April 10th. Now, Dewey passed away how many years ago now?
It'll be 10 and a half years,
and it still is hard. Yeah, yeah. And so the moment I start talking about this, this is these awkward moments, because you're like going, oh, my goodness, this is hard. Because how many know in life, we experience things and we go through things that we never chose, or things that are not easy, sometimes are difficult. I know there are some that when it comes to trying to get to 57, you're like going, you know what, I wanted to get there, but I was in a relationship with someone that said, you know what, I'm done with you. And no matter how hard you tried, they just walked away. And sometimes we wrestle with, like, we want to, yet sometimes even in getting there, there's this frailty, this weakness that happens with humanity, and we're like going, can we make it? And as we share this morning around this idea that Spirit-filled people endure faithfully, the reason we can, right at the heart of it all, is simply this, that we actually have a willing partner, no matter what we go through, who will stay with us through thick, through thin, through the ups, through the downs, through the differences and disappointments, through all the discouragements of life. And so as we think about this idea of enduring, my big idea is simply this, is that we can endure because His faithfulness, God's faithfulness, anchors our faith. Now, I looked up what does it mean to endure in the dictionary, because that's what I like to do. And it means this, to suffer something difficult, unpleasant, or painful. Another definition is this, to continue to exist for a long time. It has endured. And so we have this idea of enduring that is something that goes through difficulties, the ups, the downs, the difficulties, and it does it through time. And I'm convinced of this, that people of the Spirit are actually a people who endure faithfully. Now, we're going to look at Acts chapter 27. We're going to begin reading at verse 13. And as we kind of look at an example in Paul's life, I just want to remind us as we come to Acts, that is the continuation, that the book of Acts shows how the followers of Jesus continued what Jesus began, and they did it in the power of the Spirit. And if you've ever read the book, you'll understand that following Jesus doesn't mean everything goes easy. And so as we come to chapter 27, we'll find this, that Paul is on a ship. He's headed toward Rome after appealing his case to Caesar. And what began as a gentle breeze turns into a violent storm. And so I'm going to begin reading at verse 13, says this, when a gentle south wind began to blow, they saw their opportunity. So they weighed anchor and sailed along the shore of Crete. Before very long, a wind of hurricane force called the Northeaster swept down from the island. The ship was caught by the storm and could not head into the wind. So we gave way to it and were driven along. As we passed to the lee of a small island called Cauda, we were hardly able to make the lifeboat secure. So the men hoisted it aboard and then they passed ropes under the ship itself to hold it together. Now, I want to pause there. I love this picture because the way you had to keep a wooden boat together in the storms was they would literally put ropes under it and just try and tie that thing together. Have you ever had moments in your life where you're going through a storm and you're doing what you can just to try and hold everything together? And so just imagine all the emotion, all the stuff that's going on. It says this, because they were afraid they would run aground on the sandbars of Sirtis, they lowered the sea anchor and let the ship be driven along. We took such a violent battering from the storm that the next day they began to throw the cargo overboard. On the third day, they threw the ship's tackle overboard with their own hands. When neither sun nor stars appeared for many days, and the storm continued raging, we finally gave up all hope of being saved. After they had gone a long time without food, Paul stood up before them and said, "Men, you should have taken my advice not to sail from Crete. Then you would have spared yourself this damage and loss. But now I urge you to keep up your courage, because not one of you will be lost. Only the ship will be destroyed. Last night, an angel of God to whom I belong and whom I serve stood beside me and said, 'Do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand trial before Caesar, and God has graciously given you the lives of all who sail with you. So keep up your courage, men, for I have faith in God that it will happen just as he told me. Nevertheless, we must run aground on some island.'" Now, I love this story, and if you have time, I encourage you to read the whole chapter. It's a compelling story. But as we look at the story this morning, I want us to learn three truths about endurance, because we go through lives and we experience storms, and the question is, how do we get through? How do we endure faithfully? And so the first thing I want to note is simply this, is that there is a place that God is leading us. Now, before the storm was ever formed, before the ship ever launched, God had already spoken to Paul. So if you go back to Acts chapter 23, in verse 11, Paul will actually tell Paul to take courage. "You have testified about me in Jerusalem, and now you must testify about me in Rome." Like, you've already done it here, but I want you to know I am bringing you to a place. Now, I think this is important, because the thing we need to understand that even as God had a purpose for Paul, God has purpose for us. And part of God's purpose is, as he unfolds his purpose in our lives, it actually brings us to a place. And sometimes that place is geographic. Sometimes it's a quality of life. There's a place that God is bringing us. And God had a purpose for Paul, and purpose leads to places. And as we all, you know, as I continually say, you and I were made with purpose and for purpose. And that God is trying to work it out in our lives, that God has plans, yet he is never going to force his purpose upon us. He's not going to make us do the thing that we were created to do. You see, the Holy Spirit doesn't force us into God's purpose. He just simply invites us and he calls us. He convicts us and he nudges us. He leads us. And when we know God is leading us somewhere, it begins to fill our hearts with anticipation, and it satisfies our need, our longing for significance. So everybody here is created with this need that I want my life to matter. How many here, just quickly, brief survey, would say, "I want my life to matter"? Right? In some way. Like, I want to make a difference, whether it's, you know, like in my family, I want to make a difference in my community. I want my life to make a difference. I want you to know, when God made you, he created you with purpose. And as you step into that purpose, as you discover it, it infuses your life with a meaning and a purpose that is far greater than the stuff we go through. And so as we think about enduring, the first thing I just want you to keep in mind is this, is that there's a place that God is leading us. But just because he's leading us, it doesn't mean, and that he has purpose, purpose doesn't mean that the path will be easy. God said, you've testified about me in Jerusalem, now you're going to testify about me in Rome. And this leads me to my second thought, which is this. Not only is there a place that God is leading us, but secondly, not every journey follows a straight or easy line. Now, how many of you wish you had the Staples easy button? Right? How many wish there was a button when it came to parenting you could push and it would just be easy? Or marriage, hit that button. Or, you know, whatever thing that's bothering you, just like going, hey, just push the button and everything gets easy. Boy, we would love that. But let me tell you, moving into God's purpose is not always easy. Actually, in this passage, as God has given purpose and he's given place for Paul, even as he begins to move in that direction, as you read through Acts 27, you'll find this, that the whole story is filled with wind. Wind that resists, wind that redirects, winds that even deceive. And I want you to know that as we begin to live our life and try to move into God's purpose for our lives, there are winds that we experience that sometimes keep us from experiencing that which God has called us to in an easy or direct manner. So if you read verse 4, it'll tell you this. It goes on to say that the winds were against them. Anybody here have moments in life where it just feels like you've got a purpose, you've got a plan, you're trying to execute, you're trying to move into it, and it just feels like all the winds are against you? Anybody here experienced some of those moments? It's just, there's these winds, they're just pushing against you, and you're like, man, I can't make any progress because the winds are against. In verse 7, it says this, the wind did not allow us to hold our course. That while they were out in the midst of the storm, they had a direction, a bearing they were trying to get to. And the wind wasn't just opposing them, it was pushing them way off course. How many here have experienced winds in your life that have pushed you way off course? You thought you were going in this direction, and all of a sudden the winds of life come up and just shove you in place. And you're like going, hey, I don't think I'm supposed to be here, but here is where you are simply because of the winds of life. In verse 13, it tells us this, is that there was a gentle wind that began to blow, and because it blew, this gentle wind, they thought they had what it is they wanted. They thought, here's our opportunity, and they set out. In verse 15, though, we find out that the ship was caught in the storm and could not again head into the wind. You see, life has winds. Winds that hinder fair sailing. And for us, those winds can be cultural. They can be decisions of the decisions we have made or the decisions of others. They can be unexpected circumstances. They can be some of the seasons we go through. You know, Pastor Dwayne mentioned that, you know, in life we go through seasons. How many know that getting old isn't easy? How many know getting old came faster than you thought? Right? You just wrestle with it. It's like, you're just in that season. We go through seasons. But not only that, but one of the things that I think is interesting is that winds have an ability to entice. That sometimes what look like gentle breezes can often lead us off course. Gentle breezes can give us the feeling that we're getting what we want, but only to find out that they have set us on a dangerous course. As we go through this journey, sometimes we recognize it requires strength that we didn't know we even needed. And what we need to do is we must battle through instead of simply giving in. Sometimes we have to adjust our expectation because faith journeys are not always easy journeys. And the thing that I just want you to understand about all of this, because some of you are in the midst of storms. Some of you may have just come out of one. Some of you smack dab in the middle of one. Some of you are getting ready to go into storms. And this is what I want you to understand. That storms are not signs of God's absence. Storms are often the places where his presence becomes most real in our lives. And instead of, you know, running away or allowing the storms to drive us to places, that there's a part where we have to bend our hearts and lean into the wind and continue to move into the purpose that God has for us. So the first thing I want to note from this passage is that there's a place God is leading us. Secondly, not every journey follows a straight or easy line. And thirdly is this, endurance requires wrestling with the nevertheless's of life. I love this passage. Anybody here ever, you remember those jokes, you know, I got good news, I got bad news, right? One of my favorite ones is the good news is we baptized 15 people in the river today. The bad news, we lost 7 in the current, right? Like, it's like good news, bad news. How many of you like good news? How many of you like bad news? You're like, no, we like the good news. I love this. I love this story because God shows up in the midst of the storm and says, got good news for you. you're going to make it. Everybody go, yay, right? You're going to make it. You're like, yes. He goes, okay, bad news, the ship isn't. Okay, hold on. You're going to make it, but the ship isn't. Good news, bad news. Good news, you're going to make it. The bad news, the ship is not going to make it at all. You're like thinking to yourself, is this really what I want? There's a place that we're trying to get to, and now there's a storm, and now, God, you show up and you say, hey, heads up. Ship ain't going to make it. You will. Ship won't. Oh, and by the way, nevertheless, that's what it says in the passage. Nevertheless, everybody say nevertheless. Nevertheless. Say it louder with conviction. Nevertheless. Nevertheless, you will get, you know, stranded, stuck, beach up on some island. I'm not sure which one, but some island. Just heads up, you're going to make it. But you're going to end up in a place that we're not quite sure where it is. Now, God knew, but he's just like, just you're going to end up on some island. Nevertheless. So often in life, we have our plans. Yet nevertheless, we run aground on some island. And this is part of the tension of what faith is. How many are grateful that God will bring us through? But in order for God to bring us through, there's always something that we'll have to go through. One of the things that I want you to understand this morning is this, is that endurance is born in the nevertheless. That's actually where endurance is born. Now, where are the runners in the room? Any runners here? The sick people. We're praying for you. Oh, now, yeah, the runners in the room. How many of you, there's a reason you don't run is because have you ever seen a happy runner? You with me on this one? See him on the side of the road, you're like, that just looks painful and miserable. What are you doing, right? You know. But I remember when I was in junior high, high school, I used to run. And so I would run like, I prefer sprints, but when you have people faster than you, you have to run the next thing. And I remember having to run, I ran 1,500 meters, and then I would run cross country. And I got to tell you, I don't like running long distances. Unless there's a ball involved and you're chasing things. I'm probably more dog than just, you know, stallion. It's like, go fast, got it, right? I'm all on that one. But I remember when I was running, because I remember doing this cross country thing, and like, you talk about being in your head. Anybody here get in your head a little, in your own head a little bit? And I am running, and I start having this conversation, because I hit about just after the 1,500 mark, and I had run 1,500. And 1,500 isn't fun to run, especially when you're trying to beat other people, because they're generally faster than you. That was a terrible thing, but at least it was flat. Okay, I remember running cross country, and it was just like up and down and up and down. And I would be running, and I remember I just got past about 1.5 kilometers, and then I'm like going, what are you doing? Like, this just stinks. And you get like, why even keep running? And there's that part, you're like, I'm just going back out, right? And they'll talk about, if you listen to people who run, they'll talk about, yeah, you hit a wall and you got to run through it. I'm like, you shouldn't be hitting the wall at 1.5, but hey, that's me. You know, I'm like, dude, it's a hard, and I just remember just all this thing in my head. Why don't you just quit? Why don't you just step away? Why keep going? And I think that's often what we do. And part of it is because we encounter something we weren't quite expecting or we weren't quite aware of, and all of a sudden it's like, hey, what are we going to do in these moments? I thought marriage was going to make me happy. How many know love is blind? Marriage is an eye-opener. Gonna get it right. How many of you thought, boy, if we just have kids, our life will be full? And it is full of lots of things. Diapers, right? It's just terrible. You're like, oh my, you're like going, really? You're like, can I send it back? We're just kind of joking. So
With Samantha, so when our first daughter was born, she ended up being in NICU. And so NICU was like expensive and stuff like that. We didn't have insurance at the time. And they were gracious enough to forgive a whole bunch of our stuff. But then they put us on a payment plan. And so we had to pay over a whole bunch of months. And I was just like going, well, if we don't pay, honey, they can repossess her. And apparently that's not how it works. No, I'm just kidding. I remember that moment we're like going, we actually own this one. And so it was, we traded her in. I'm just kidding. But we go through these things. We hit these nevertheless moments. And I just want you to know, endurance is born in the neverthelesses. There's things we need to hold deeply in our heart. Like things like this. God is faithful. Nevertheless, the storm still rages. God has purpose. Nevertheless, the path is painful. God has spoken. Nevertheless, we may land somewhere we didn't expect. Just so you know, endurance doesn't deny the neverthelesses of life. What endurance does is it trusts God through it. Paul says, keep up your courage. Tells the sailors, guys, keep up your courage. See, this is the thing we need to understand is even though we may not be able to control the storms that swirl around us, how many know we get to choose how we're going to go through the storm? That we actually get to have a say in how we go through it. And this is the reason we can endure is because we get a say in it. We can choose courage. And there's something that we must do in the struggle. We must learn to hold on, to trust, to stay faithful, and to keep believing. And again, the reason we can endure isn't because we're like superhuman and we're the best things ever. We can endure because God is faithful and His faithfulness anchors our faith. So I want to note real quickly four things to help us manage how to weather storms, how the Spirit builds endurance in our lives. And the first thing I would note is simply this, is remember who stands with you. Like, if you're in the midst of the storm, I just challenge you, just remember who stands with you. See, what was going on is, like, these people, when they're in a boat, they're out in the Mediterranean, the winds are blowing, the waves are crashing, everything is going on, and they're just being driven along by the wind. Do you think they had a clue where they were? Nope. It even tells us that they couldn't see the sky above. They couldn't see the stars. They couldn't orient themselves in any way. They're just like going, dude, we're just bobbing around out here. Driven this way, driven that way. We have no clue where we are. Yet Paul says, last night an angel of the God to whom I belong and whom I serve stood beside me. I love this. Because even though you may not know where you're at in the midst of the storm, you don't know if you're on the front end of it, in the middle of it, at the end of it. You don't know how far it's blown you off course, and it feels like, oh my goodness, where am I? I want you just to know in your heart that God knows right where you're at. And I love that God says, listen, that as Paul says, the angel of the God to whom I belong stands with me. He stood beside me. And the reason he stands beside us is because we belong to him. Did you know that if you're a follower of Jesus, you matter to him as a child? Not that other people don't matter to him, but God super cares about you. And he's like, listen, I know where you're at and I know what you're going through. And you're not beyond my reach. You're not beyond my care. You're not beyond my love. You see, he promised, I will never leave you or forsake you. And so if we're going to endure, if we're going to weather storms, we need to remember who stands with us. And I just want you to know that if you're in the midst of a storm right now, you don't stand alone. Secondly, what we have to do in the midst of the storms is we need to be aware of what hijacks the promise. So as God reassures Paul that everybody's going to be saved, part of the condition of that was is everybody has to kind of stay together in this thing. And there were some soldiers that were like going, listen, hey, you know what? We need to find our own way out of this. And so it says that they were making plans to take the lifeboat that they had secured earlier, and they were going to get in it, and they're going to make their own way of escape. Yet Paul tells the captain, unless these men stay with the ship, you cannot be saved. Now, I think this is important because how many know that in storms, our survival instincts kick in? So this is what I know about humanity, about who we are as people. God made us to survive. Not only has he given us life, but he has given us an ability to strive for life. Like people want to live, and they'll do things to keep living. And sometimes we have been through circumstances or people have been through things, and you felt like, I'm never going to make it, but you fought and you clawed and you tried this strategy and that, and here you are today still breathing. And that's part of the fact that God made you as one who not only breathes and is alive, but someone who fights to stay alive. Yet sometimes, our survival instincts don't always help us step into the promise and purpose of God. Like sometimes there are things that we look and we think, well, this will be my escape. This will be the thing that will get me through. And sometimes the things that we think is going to help us escape becomes the thing that ensnares. One of the things, as you read through Scripture, one of the things that I think that happens is that as we go through struggles, struggles have a way of revealing things. Sometimes that you know, it says, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. If you want to know what's in the heart, watch what's coming out the mouth. And how many know that sometimes in the midst of pressure, we say things we wish we didn't say? Anybody have those moments? And it wasn't because the storm put those words in you. The storms just helped bring those things out of you. Okay, so I just want you to know, storms have a way of revealing things. Not only can they reveal some things that are going on in our heart, but sometimes what storms do, storms begin to reveal those things that we are leaning on or we are trusting in to get us through. And sometimes the thing we cling to is the thing that begins to ensnare us. I know that there are some people, they wrestle with addictions in their own lives, and part of it is because that they, at some point, it was like that was part of the escape vessel. It was part of the way that they can manage the pain, they could manage the hurt, they could manage the disappointment, they can manage the fear, and they stepped into these things, and now what was once they thought the lifeboat is a thing that they know inside is destroying them. You see, we need to be aware of what hijacks the promise. Sometimes these little lifeboats are the most dangerous places to be. And the Spirit sometimes says, guys, what you need to do is you just need to cut the ropes. And so Paul's like, Captain, if these guys don't stay, they can't be saved. There's no salvation there. There's no, and so he's just like, hey, cut the ropes. And you know what they ended up doing? They ended up cutting the ropes of the life raft, the lifeboat. And sometimes in our lives, there are some things that we just have to choose to cut. Because those things that we've been trusting in are the things that are really ensnaring our soul, and we need his grace. We need to learn to let go of the things that we trust more than God himself. So as we weather the storms, remember who stands with you. Be aware of what hijacks your promise. Thirdly, I'd say, make sure that you're maintaining your tanks in the midst of the storm. Now, what do I mean by that? All of us were pretty smart, especially as the drivers around here. We know the importance of making sure there's some fuel in our gas tank. Anybody here know what I'm talking about? Like, there are some people you're like, when it gets to quarter tank, you're like, time to put more fuel in it. There's other of us, we like the idiot light to come on, and the countdown. How many are grateful for the countdown on this bunker? It's like, you got 13 miles left. Honey, I think we can make it, right? But we know intuitively that if we're going to get anywhere at some point, what do we need to do? We need to put something in the tank. Even if I got $5 in the tank's better than no bucks in the tank when you got 13-mile range. Can I get a witness on this one? Right? You know it. You're like, there are things I have to do. And in our lives, we actually have to manage, in the midst of the storms, the tanks that are a part of our own lives. You see, endurance requires self-awareness and self-care. That if you're going to become someone who's able to endure, you need, it's going to require self-awareness and self-care. So I have seven tanks. When I meet with people, talk with people at different times, especially if they're going through some difficulty and challenges, at some point we'll have the conversation, how are your tanks doing? And I got seven, and this is an opportunity to play along this morning. You don't have to say them out loud, but think about them. If you're taking notes, write them down. But I ask people on a scale of 1 to 5, 1 being poor, 5 being great. I say, how's the fuel level? How's the tank level? And I generally will ask things like, okay, so how is your spiritual tank doing? Like, how is your connection with God? And you know, sometimes we're like, man, I've been having those connections with God. I've been praying. I feel like God is near. Man, that thing is just, that's up there. And then other times you're just like, I have been so busy. I haven't had time to nurture that relationship with God. And so sometimes it gets low. So on a scale of 1 to 5, how are you doing when it comes to your spiritual tank? What about your physical tank? Right? And this has to do with our bodies. So what's really interesting in this story is that Paul says this, like, he knew these people were weathering a storm. They were wrestling. They're up and downs and all these different things. And as a consequence, they stopped eating. And Paul was like, hey, guys, hey, let's pause. Let's have something to eat. Let's take time to eat because, you know, we've been going through this thing. And if you're going to make it through the next step, there's some things that you're going to have to do to take care of yourself being-wise. And so let me just ask you, how is your physical tank? Do you have healthy rhythms of eating and exercise and rest? How many are grateful that sleep is important? How many are like, I'm using my Sunday mornings to do what I can to get no sleep? But let me tell you, sleep is important. Rest is important. We have such frenetic schedules that our lives get scheduled. We got stuff going every day and every day and every day, and we're running to this, that, and the other. We're trying to please our kids. We're trying to, like, be a part of a community. We're just all these things, and all of a sudden, our lives get so filled. Isn't it interesting that God told his people they need to practice Sabbath, like a day off? A day of rest. Do you know what the purpose of the day of rest is? It's to remind God's people they're no longer slaves. Did you know that slaves don't get days off? Like, they had to work every day. Okay, they didn't get Boxing Day. Like, you're a slave. You work, and you work every day. You work at the whim of masters that are not you. And then God brings his people out of Egypt and says, hey, guys, by the way, you are no longer slaves. And so practice rest. And I just want you to know that in our lives, we need to be careful because sometimes we become slaves to our calendars, and in becoming slaves, we end up wearing ourselves out. How many here, when you get tired or hungry, you get a little cranky? How many sitting next to somebody, when it comes to tired, they get a little cranky, right? And part of it is you've got to manage that's self-care. It's self-awareness and self-care. Another tank is, how is your mental tank? And that is, do I have ideas? Do I feel like I know how to manage problems? I got creative ideas, or am I just like, I have no clue? What about your emotional tank? What about your relational tank? What about your financial tank? Or your purpose tank? Asking the questions like, am I contributing in a meaningful way? Because when the tank runs low, the journey becomes harder. And what the Holy Spirit does is the Holy Spirit invites us to pay attention, to rest, to replenish, to breathe, to reconnect. And I just want you to know that if you're going to weather the storm, you need to practice both self-awareness and self-care. Lastly, and worship team, you can come, because I'm going to close this one. This is the one that I think is brilliant. How do you weather the storm? I would say this: find planks of grace. I mean, that sounds beautiful. Find planks of grace. You're like, what is that? So get to the end of the story. If you get to the end of the story, you'll read it. The captain's like this, because they hit a sandbar and the ship gets stuck and the waves keep battering. And he's like, anybody who can swim to shore, have at it. And you just imagine people jumping over like, it's time to go, it's go time. And they jump in the water and they start swimming. And he goes, and everyone else, like find some planks, find some debris, find something that you can hold on to get you to the next place that you need to be. Let me tell you, in the midst of your storm and struggle, one of the things that you need to find are planks of grace. Do you remember? The ship ain't going to make it, but you are. And the ship as a whole didn't make it, but you know what the ship did? It had some pieces and parts that people could hold on to. And they were little vessels of grace. And sometimes that's what grace looks like. It's not a whole ship. It's just a plank. It may be for you that in the midst of what you're going through, that there's a song that all of a sudden it just gets stuck in your heart, and it's the song that you hold on to as you go through this season. It could be a promise from God's word. It could be a friendship, a scripture, a moment of peace. Some plank of grace that's kind of drifting along, and you're like, oh, you know what? I'm holding on to this because I know that God's grace will get me to the next place. You see, enduring, the reason we can endure is because God is faithful to us. Corrie Ten Boom once said, she was a survivor of the Holocaust. She said this, if God sends us on strong paths, he provides us with strong shoes. I love that. Like, he'll provide what it is you need for the path, the journey that you're on. And what his grace does is it gets us to the next place. See, there's a place that God is leading you. And not every journey follows a straight or easy path. And if we're going to endure it, it's going to require wrestling with the nevertheless's of life. Through it all, it's God's faithfulness that anchors our faith. And I want you to know you are not alone. You are not forgotten. And endurance ultimately isn't about our strength, but about his faithfulness. And it's his grace that will bring you through. Now, I believe this. I believe that one day you'll look back and say, hey, looks like we made it. Look how far we've come, my baby. We might have taken the long way, but we knew we'd get there someday. They said, I bet they'll never make it. But just look at us holding on. Let me tell you, there's a grace that God wants to bring us through. Because he is good. Some of you this morning, you're in the midst of a season of difficulty, season of storm. And I just want to encourage your hearts this morning. God's not done yet. He knows right where you're at. And he has grace to meet you this morning. So this is what we're going to do as we close. I'm going to pray in a moment. The worship team's going to lead us in a song. But if you're here and you're like, going, you know what, I'm wrestling with some things. And I just need his grace to help me. I want to invite you to do something big and courageous. Simply come up front. I just want to pray with you. Because I think something happens when we begin to pray together. Because it's a simple reminder that God is with us even in the midst of all of this. That he's the God who wants to help. I got Eric here this morning. Eric will stand on this side. You get to do it on this side. I'll take this side. Okay. But we just want to pray with people this morning. Because we have a God who's good. So, Father, we just bow our heads and our hearts to you, grateful that you're the God who gets us through. Lord, I thank you that Spirit-filled people endure faithfully. And God, in the midst of the storms that we find ourselves in, Lord, would you help us to endure faithfully? Lord, would you help anchor my faith in your faithfulness? And God, give me the courage for the nevertheless's of life. Lord, I believe that you will bring me where it is that you long to take me. God, I'm going to trust you. Just while your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed, how many here this morning would simply say, you know what, I'm going through some things, and I'm in the midst of a storm, and I just need his grace to meet me. I need one of those planks of grace. That you would just raise your hand. I see those hands. Thank you. Thank you. You put them down. Maybe you're here this morning and you've never made a decision to follow Jesus with your life. Maybe you made a decision to follow him many years ago, but you kind of got caught up doing your own things and the winds have kind of blown you all sorts of places. Maybe you've taken some escape vessels, and I want you to know that God still loves you and longs to surround you with his love and his grace. And all we have to do is call out his name and say, Lord, would you just help me? Then he comes and does that. And if you're here and you've never made a decision to follow Jesus, I want to encourage you to choose to follow him. If you've stepped away from him, I encourage you to come on back, because his grace helps bring us through so much. He knows where you're at and what you're going through. He wants to measure grace to you. And so if that's you this morning, would you raise your hand, because I want to pray with you as well. Is there anyone? Father, you see every hand that's been raised in this place. God, I thank you that you're the God who helps us in the midst of the storm, because you are good. And Lord, I just ask that your grace and mercy would surround your people. Father, in the midst of this season, may we know your presence. May we know your love. May we know your kindness. Lord, may our faith be anchored in your faithfulness. In Jesus' name.